Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Hello, everybody. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a father of five, two chinchillas and a dog. And my son is with me in the studio here today, and he homeschools. Actually, he doesn't homeschool anymore. He travels with me 5-6 days out of the week, and I guess we're not homeschooling. We are radio studio schooling today, and that's really what homeschooling is about. We just basically disciple, teach, train, raise up the fear and admonition of the Lord wherever we happen to be. And this is Generations. Welcome. It's good to have all of you tuned in with us today. And I've got issues, as I always do. Issue number one, I'm not the only father of five homeschooling, as it turns out. Senator Rick Santorum. Yes, you heard it. Senator Rick Santorum is now homeschooling five of his own as of this week. Now, by the way, this is not the first senator in the history of the world to homeschool. There's been lots of famous people homeschool and homeschoolers. Think of Patrick Henry, governor of Virginia, first governor of Virginia, and the presidents George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, William Henry Harrison, Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, John Tyler, Franklin D. Roosevelt, homeschooled, by the way. College presidents, John Witherspoon was homeschooled. Senators William Johnson, George Clymer from Pennsylvania, William Blount from Tennessee, William Few from Georgia. Famous generals, Stonewall Jackson homeschooled, Robert E. Lee, Douglas MacArthur, George Patton. Of course, C.S. Lewis was homeschooled. Lots of famous people. Chief Justices of U.S. Supreme Court, the first one, John Marshall and John Jay. They were, I believe, the first Supreme Court Chief Justices. They were homeschooled as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a new thing that Rick Santorum, senator from the state of Pennsylvania, is homeschooling as of today. Issue number two. Another new program, government program coming down from Washington, D.C. All of the nation's children, according to this bill that has passed one of the branches, can't remember which, but all of the nation's children must be screened for mental health problems. Now, Big Brother evidently is going to tell us who is mentally ill. Now, that's problematic. That sounds way too Orwellian for my taste. The real reason for this, according to some people, is that big business is in collusion with big government. The big drug companies just aren't selling enough Ritalin, as it turns out. Unbelievable, because we have millions of children on Ritalin today, but apparently not enough, according to the big drug companies. So we're going to do some mandatory mental illness testing, and we'll see what happens. Ron Paul, the courageous representative from the state of Texas, is trying to get language into this lousy bill such that at least they will get parental consent before these children are subject to psychological testing. But what's next? Forced drugging? With maybe the exception, folks, of Ron Paul and a couple of other representatives, Republican or Democrat, it seems to me that many of our representatives have the wrong worldview, because this bill is very likely to pass through both houses in Washington. The problem is they have the wrong worldview. They assume that government is the savior. If you do that, there is no end to what problems they will try to solve. There is no end, of course, to what damage government will do. You assume that government is the savior. Government's not the savior. As it turns out, Jesus Christ was the savior, and government is not God. It's hard for some of us to take who've been indoctrinated in the socialist mentality. But the fact of the matter is, folks, government has no jurisdictional authority in the area of health and education. It just doesn't belong in those areas. Government's business is in area of justice and defense. They need to keep their hands out of the family and keep their needles and their psychiatrists out of our homes and our schools. Issue number three. The debt ceiling, as of last week, was increased by another $800 billion. Now, there's some genius to deficit spending, and the genius is this. You can keep the Democrats happy by keeping spending way up there, and keep the Republicans happy by cutting taxes. Just increase the debt ceiling. So what's wrong with federal debt? Well, it's a tax on our children and our grandchildren. Now, what's the worldview behind deficit spending? A point of this program again and again and again. We make this all the time. There is a worldview underneath the things that we do, the policies that we make, the programs that we endorse, the money that we spend. The worldview, folks, with deficit spending, it's the worldview of existentialism. We live for the moment. It's the worldview of John Paul Sartre. We live for ourselves for the moment, and who cares about the next generation? This is the economics of John Maynard Keynes, who, when somebody asked him if there would be a problem with this deficit spending fractional reserve system, he said, well, what will happen in the long run, who cares? In the long run, we are all dead. Well, our grandchildren will pay, and I wonder what our congressmen think about their own children. Do they even care about their own children? Obviously, Santorum does, and maybe some do. Issue number four. My wife was shopping a while back with our five children in tow. And by the way, you do that when you're a homeschool family. You just take everybody with you. And this lady came up to her and said, are all these yours? Which is the standard question with a family over three children, right? And my wife said, yes. She said, I've got two. You want them? It just about killed her. Is that sad or what? Fact of the matter is, we live in a calloused and a cold world. And this kind of attitude is frightening, folks. We really do have parents that don't want their children, don't want to spend time with their children. And these children were called orphans. They have from the very beginning. And yes, there are loving parents and loving people who take care of these children. But here's what we need. This is what we need. Listen, this is what we need. We need parents who love God so much that they will love their children and they will teach their children God's word as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. It's the simple Shema from Deuteronomy 6. It's been around for thousands of years. It's what we need. It's exactly what we need in our society. Issue number five. Colorado lost in the elections, folks, and you know this. I know this. We're past denial at this point. Past the denial stage. Yes, we lost. If you like liberty from big government, if you like moral values and family values, and you know what I'm talking about. You lost big time. While the rest of the nation was winning, there wasn't a state that lost as we lost. While the rest of the nation was winning elections, Congress seats and Senate seats, we were losing them. At least if you believe in family values, if you believe in the cause of life, if you believe in the defense of the family, then we really lost. And why did we lose? Well, I'll tell you why we lost is because I think we fell asleep. And we just don't have an activism in this state. Maybe we have some ideas, but we don't have the activism. And ultimately, we need activism on the basis of these conservative family, pro-life, moral values. And this has got to happen. We need more. I don't know how many radio hosts we have in this state standing for family values, but we need to get more radio hosts out there who are willing to get active, get loud, and get involved. And certainly we want to do that on this program. We're not winning elections. The other side is winning elections because they're involved. They're spending money. They're investing their time. They care about the issues. And they're putting some shoe leather to the issues. Now, here's another reason why they're winning. They're plugged into government spigots. And this is a big problem. You got billions of dollars flowing into education in this state. And you have the extremely liberal Colorado Education Association taking money from the teaching class who receive billions of dollars from our tax dollars. And then they pour it into the coffers of liberal candidates and so on it goes. This kind of tyranny, this kind of recirculation of the dollars is hard to break, especially since those billions of dollars come out of the pockets of taxpayers. But it can be done. It can be done, folks, with a few brave souls who are willing to stand, believe in freedom and the principles that are essential for family and life and rebuilding society and are willing to get involved. Our freedoms, folks, are on the lines today. We've got to face this issue. There's an approaching storm. There's an upcoming attack on educational choice and homeschool freedoms. That's what today's program is about. The bad guys are getting ready to take away your freedoms. I'm making it as simple as I possibly can. And they've always wanted to do that. They've been doing it since day one. They wanted to take away our freedoms, the freedoms of the free market, freedoms of educational choices and the rest. And yet, the only way, as we know from Edmund Burke, the only way for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing or good women to do nothing. And by God's grace, we have people who are willing to take that stand. Treon Gosin is with me today. She's been fighting for the life of the family, of parental rights in this state for 20 years. She heads up Concerned Parents of Colorado. She works on a shoestring budget. She volunteers hundreds of her own hours at the Capitol as a citizen lobby, has been doing that for decades now against the millions of dollars of lobbying on the other side. Treon Ghose is with me in the studio today to talk about the survival of the family, of educational choice, of homeschooling in the next 2 years. We're going to talk about this in just a moment, folks. Stay tuned. My name is Kevin Swanson. You're listening to Generations.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members at Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
This is Kevin Swanson. I'm visiting here with Jeff McKinney from McKinney Motors.
One thing that I very much suggest is that they will go and let us show them some factory program vehicles. In many cases, you can save 50% in 1 year. 1 year! Cars that sold new for $25,000, a year later we were able to get them for $12,900 with 18,000 miles on them, with full factory warranty out to 3 years, 36,000 miles for half price. We do it all the time.
Jeff, my average car buying experience in the past takes 4 hours to close this thing, lots of back and forth. How does your experience differ?
Well, at McKinney Motors, we try to make the car buying experience very simple and basic, and we don't do the back and forth. We tell you what the car is going to cost you. We're very fair with our pricing. And from A to Z, it takes about 20 minutes to buy a car from McKinney Motors.
That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Fragile. Yes, you heard me. Freedoms are fragile. They always are.
And today's program is the survival of our freedoms as families in this state. I have Treon Gosen, who is president of Concerned Parents of Colorado. She has been a citizens lobbyist in the state for a long, long time. Treon, thank you so much for joining us today in Generations.
Oh, hey, Kevin. Thanks for letting me come.
Treon, the red state has the blues, as Dave just put it. Almost every other state advanced in terms of the quote-unquote conservative or pro-family cause, and yet it didn't happen here in Colorado. What happened?
Well, you know, Kevin, we've seen this coming for a long time, and those of us who've been at the State House have been warning people that this was coming because we could see the trends. We could see what was happening, but I believe we were outspent. Well, we know we were outspent, and they went out and got the votes. They went out and recruited and took people to register to vote. I think we failed in that area. Mm-hmm. We failed in the money area. We failed in just people getting to vote. And I think, like you said, there is definite level of apathy in the state. You kind of get comfortable in your status quo, and you don't think anybody's going to shake you out of it.
Right. And yet there are folks out there with convictions on the other side. And they say, you know what, we want government control in these areas. We want big government. We want to take away people's freedoms, essentially. And they bring their money to bear. And what you said just earlier is that money made a difference. How did it make a difference in this election?
Well, it made a tremendous difference. There were several individuals who contributed large amounts of money. Mm-hmm. To the Democratic different areas that they did their money, mostly for a lot of voter recruitment, mm-hmm. going out and getting the voters in the neighborhoods and taking them to the polls and making sure they were there and probably buying them pizza after they voted, you know, making sure that they did vote the way they were supposed to. I think we failed in the area, not necessarily of, quote, kind of like bribery, but our responsibility to get people out. And I think also people were a little burned out. They were more focused on the federal, not the state.
I think so.
And the
right.
campaign ads,
right.
I think, got to a lot of people to the point where they just said, I'm not even going to bother. I'm so tired of this.
Right.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. But they right. did it anyway.
And the bottom line is a lot of our rights really are not provided or protected by the federal government. The state government is just as important. In fact, our homeschool rights really hinge right there in the state capitol, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
John Philpott Curran, I believe Irishman, once said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and that's been repeated a number of times since then. But why is it that we tend to become less vigilant over time?
You know, Kevin, I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't. I just see the trends.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first started out and we wrote the law back in the mid-80s when we were under such horrific oppression from the state because of homeschooling, that a lot of parents became motivated and were willing to go to the committees in Denver to make the phone calls, to write the letters, to keep our presence there. Then things started getting better and people started kicking back and it's like, oh, well, someone else is up there doing this for us. We don't have to do all these things. And then lo and behold, people moved in, people moved out. You have this whole new generation of homeschooling parents who don't understand where we came from.
Let's talk about where we came from, because this whole battle for educational choice really goes back a number of years. We have not always had the freedom to homeschool in this state, have we?
Oh, my, no. It's been, the option has been there since the early 80s, but it was so restrictive. We were under a system of rules and regulations by the State Board of Education. Now, the districts, you had to apply. It was an approval process. And some districts just categorically denied your application, even to certified teachers.
So what did families do in those situations?
They had to appeal to the state board. They had to go through a secondary process. And I was up there one time, and I watched this chairman of the state board and others start laughing at the stack of rejections they'd received from districts saying they're at it again. And I got mad, and I don't think I've ever gotten over that mad. And I think that's one reason I've stayed after it so many years, and that's why we wrote the law. The parents were hiding their kids. They would tell them to, the doorbell rings in the middle of the day, they would have places for them to hide to make sure it wasn't a truancy officer or a social services worker. They'd get them up in the middle of the night, Kevin, mm-hmm. and practice drills, escape routes, mm-hmm. to keep them from removing children from the home because of the oppression that was here in the state.
And we're not talking about 100 years ago in some of the country here. We're talking about right here in dear old Colorado just,
absolutely.
What, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and dads were threatened with jail. We had families in court. We were considered one of the 10 most dangerous states to homeschool in at that time.
Incredible. Then what happened?
And then we wrote the law.
You wrote the law.
We wrote the law. We knew that was our way out from under the jurisdiction of the state board, and we knew that way we would become our own entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized the risk when we did that of the chance of amendments and so forth, but we knew that where we were going, it was in a sinkhole going down fast.
Yes.
So what we did is we wrote the law, and so far, by God's grace, it has remained and the same, and it's even improved with amendments over the years since 1988.
Now, the law was first attempted in 87.
Yes, Kevin.
And then it passed in 88.
That's correct. It failed in 87, and I think that was our testing ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then we formed Concerned Parents of Colorado just for the purpose of getting the law through,
mm-hmm.
And then we were successful in 88.
Okay. Now, how did it get passed? You had a couple of different sponsors. Who were they?
We had Senator Al Michaeljohn, and who was a Republican.
Okay.
And we had Representative Richard Bond, Democrat, on the House side.
Okay. And the end result was you got a bill passed. It was signed by the governor.
No, he didn't sign it.
Okay.
Remember, he rolled the fence because of the lobby.
Okay. Okay.
He was Democrat Roy Romer.
It was Romer. Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't about to sign that law.
Okay.
Amen.
And so we've had the law for about, 16 years now.
Yes.
And it's possible that we could run into some flack over the next year or so. We want to talk about that in just a moment. Treon, you've homeschooled during all this time, didn't you? You were
yes.
homeschooling even back before the homeschool law was passed.
Yes, I am.
Why do you like homeschooling?
Because I knew that's what I had to do for my family to be successful in education,
mm-hmm.
and also for our Christian beliefs to be instilled in our children. I knew that I could not do anything differently. And back then, the decision wasn't made for field trips or curriculum. The decision was made, am I willing to go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I willing to leave the state if I make this decision? And that kind of got ingrained
mm-hmm.
in me. It's like the commitment at that point in time. And I still feel the same way. I don't feel any differently. The
after
commitment.
All these years.
That's right.
Yeah. How are your children doing? I assume some of them have grown up and they're going on to other
things.
Oh,
yes. They're doing great. My daughter Petra is married and she's managing a bank.
Wow.
She was told by her...
But she was homeschooled.
Yeah, and she was also told she would never make it. She'd be a social outcast and on welfare or life.
Right.
My second
I think they told George Washington that, too.
I know, and Thomas Edison, that they sent him home as a retard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he was a retard, too. Ansel Adams, another hyperactive, should have been on Ritalin.
Yeah, so my son is a professional drummer, and so it just keeps going on down the line. These kids are doing great.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to another great program with Treon Gosin. The program is Generations, and yes, our freedoms are under attack. We're going to tell you specifically how that is the case in just a few moments. You are listening to Generations. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Driver education and training gets an F, says the Good Housekeeping magazine in March 2003. Insurance Institute for Highway Safety reports driver education and training could increase the chances of a fatal crash with your teenager. Why is this? What's going wrong here? Why are parents not paying attention to these vital statistics? The problem is not within the teenager, but within the training process. When you separate the classroom from the practical, you are setting yourself and your teenager up for failure. University studies have proven that the National Driver Training Institute program works and will drastically reduce the chance of teenage crashes and fatalities. National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is a Colorado-approved graduated driver licensing program that will work for you and your family. Call the National Drivers Training Institute and give your new teen driver education and the training they deserve. Program costs start at $155, and it's recognized by every insurance company in Colorado. Call 266-4700 in the Springs. Outside the Springs, call 1-800-942-2050. Or go online, nationaldrivertraining.com.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Fighting for the freedom of the family here in the state of Colorado. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today we're talking about the attack
on homeschooling and school choice that has already come in some regard and will come over the next year or two if the other side has its way. Home education trion is really a huge threat, seems, to those that are in power, those that want the power. It seems as if civil government's power is sometimes threatened when the family steps up to the plate and says, you know what, we are going to make decisions for our family. That's intimidating to some that are out there. In fact, in the last election, we saw some attack pieces on pro-homeschooling candidates that referred to Christian home educators as a part of the bad guys, as part of the side that was opposing what they were out for. Are we going to see more of these attack pieces, do you think, as time goes by?
Oh, Kevin, assuredly, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you remember the CBS reports, and this last September, equating homeschoolers with terrorists.
Right.
Before that, I don't know if you may remember, but we had comments in state legislature about us being militia, you know, underground people.
Yeah.
But
we've just seen a series of articles come out of Ohio newspaper. I can't remember which one, but a series of articles that just, I mean, it was a week-long series of articles that just shot homeschooling to shreds, you know, trying to tell everybody that the evidence really isn't the evidence. Homeschoolers aren't really excelling in all these different areas. Forget all of the studies. Really, the best form of education is a heavily socialized, heavily boxed system that's provided by the state government. And those attacks have just increased, and that's, I think, problematic. And homeschoolers, others that believe in family and school choice, really ought to sit up and pay attention, shouldn't they?
Oh, if they don't, they're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have no choice in this. This is a matter of either you do it or you lose your right. We're down to that, Kevin, and I hope people listening to this program understand the seriousness of what we're talking about here. This isn't just some little thing that's come up. We are looking at some very serious attacks on the homeschooling statute, on the private school option, on the family. You just name it. You can see all the things that have, you know, we've been able to protect over the years. They've just been waiting. It's a concerted effort. This isn't just a hit or miss thing. This is a concerted effort, not just statewide, but nationwide.
What are the kinds of things you're hearing, Trion, in terms of opposition to homeschooling? Are there efforts out there to undermine educational choice?
Oh, without a doubt. And the one thing I wanted to say, Kevin, it's interesting that they can't take care of their own,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
They're so more than willing to tell us how to take care of ours.
Yeah, while homeschoolers are rating 80% on the nationally standardized
right.
tests, 30 percentiles above the national average of 50%, they're coming after us. It just doesn't make any sense, yeah. except to say it is opposed to their worldview, their way of socializing our children, making them good little socialists that will walk in lockstep. Basically, the perspective, the vision that Hitler had when he brought in the compulsory attendance law in Germany just 50 years ago.
That's so true, Kevin. That's the absolute bottom line, what you just said.
Yes.
And what we're looking at, we've already been told by Representative Merrifield before this last election that he was gearing up towards coming in and possibly regulating us similar to the public school online programs,
mm-hmm.
because they kind of equate the term homeschooling at times. And this is just something that's also been a concerted effort to blur the lines,
yeah,
to bring us in.
I always think of the camel's nose under the tent. Remember
yes.
the Arabian tale?
Yes.
Where the government comes up and says, it's just going to be one small regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the tip of the nose in the tent. Before you know it, the head's in the tent. Before you know it, the camel's in the tent. And the family is out there on the desert sands. And that's really what they intend to do, because their worldview is a socialist worldview. They want control of the family. And obviously, that's not God's intent in the Bible. And it certainly isn't the intent of most families. I think most families believe in educational choice. Don't you think so?
Oh, I believe they do. And even, you know, families who don't choose homeschooling want the ability to choose what's best for their children. But they don't realize how sometimes it's manipulated in the system that they're in. They are carefully, just like cows, down these chutes in these different areas of education and not even knowing what's really happening to them.
And I think if you asked the average parent, do you love your child? They would say yes. Do you want the best for your child? They would say yes. Do you want to make a choice for your child's educational program? My guess is 80 to 90% of parents would say, you know what, if push comes to shove, I would really want to make those choices myself.
Oh, I agree, Kevin. And some of the things like we were talking about as far as the regulation coming down the pipes for homeschoolers, they're looking at probably doing away with our CSAP exemption. Probably looking at some more local control.
More testing. And the bottom line is you start bringing in more of these standardized tests, and what are parents going to do? They're going to be backed into that box, that standardized test box, where all they do is they just take those children and just assembly line, ker-chunk, 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 put these children through this program, and before you know it, you lost what makes homeschooling really work, which was the principle of individuality, right? That is tailor-fit that educational program to each one of those little children that God has given you with all those special needs and abilities and all that, and you start bringing in more and more of these government regulations, these standardized tests and expectations, and what happens? That will kill the homeschooling movement.
Oh, absolutely, because the curriculum follows. You know, they teach for the test in the public schools. They're trying to force us in the same. They also want us to be public school teacher monitored.
Right.
They would like to see us have, you know, be responsible to someone who knows more than we do, obviously, about our children, or so they think.
And this is the most hilarious thing. The government comes to a program where parents are doing a great job, 80 percentile on the nationally standardized test, and they say, let me help you with this. And they help you with it for about 10 years, and what happens? Right back down to 50, 40 percentile. That's going to happen, right? The government touches it. It's not the Midas touch. It's the manure touch.
Yes, absolutely.
The government touches it. It turns to manure. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Generations. We're getting a little excited today about a government intervention into homeschooling and the abrogation of parental rights. Treon Gosin is with me. She's been monitoring the situation for at least 20 years down at the Capitol. Let me ask you back then, Treon, how did you guys win the right to homeschool? How did you fight for these educational choices and win? Was there something the character of the pioneers that we need to exemplify today? What would you say was what... the things that it took to really win those battles?
Well, coming from the South, we called it grit. I think it's tenacity. I think it's standing up like, how far are you willing to go to keep this, you know, freedom? And that's what we had to decide. How far are we willing to go? You know, Kevin, when we were doing the law, we were harassed, Rory and I. My phones were tapped. We went through all kinds of stuff. But that just made me more determined to do what we needed to do. And parents showed up. Parents were at the hearings. They were standing room only. Parents wrote letters. They made phone calls. We would, you know, shut down the switchboard at the Capitol sometimes a day at a time because parents knew that we were on the edge.
And when those legislators find out that you are dead serious, that you are parents and you dearly love your children and you are here for the long term, I think a lot of them will begin to come over to your side, won't they? Or at least they'll agree on one particular issue with you.
Oh, I believe so. And even with the Democratic control up there, we do have some friends in the Democratic Party who have supported us in years past. Now, the question is, are they going to continue or are they going to vote? You know, party lines. Are they so caught up in their greed of the moment?
Yes, that they will not listen to common sense and the rest of the people that actually care for their own children, their families, and where this state is going to go.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening today to Treon Gosin. She is Director, President of Concerned Parents of Colorado. The program is Generations. You don't want to miss the next section because we are going to talk about specific things that you can do to fight for the freedom of your family over the next year or two. You are listening to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Christian Cottage Schools believes in empowering parents to educate their children. They provide one-on-one testing. They will develop an individualized personal curriculum program for your child. For those who need special help with visual or auditory processing, Christian Cottage provides special programs to help your children succeed in their education. The mission of Christian Cottage Schools is to mentor parents as they exercise their God-given right to control and direct their children's education. Visit ChristianCottage.com or call 303-688-6626.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home. Call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Taking on the big issues today on Generations, faith, family. and freedom. My name is Kevin Swanson. Treon Gosin with me. She's president of Concerned Parents of Colorado. She also is a citizen lobbyist, has worked in the Capitol for at least 20 years now. She fought to achieve a victory in the first homeschool law back in 1988, which legalized home education, educational choice in the state of Colorado. Treon, today things are different than they were back then. We have made some progress, haven't we? I mean, you look at the House today. How many of them homeschool? Somebody told me 40% of those in the House with school-aged children actually homeschool. Incredible. We've yes. made tremendous progress, haven't we?
Oh, it's been wonderful, Kevin. You know how God is blessed.
Yes.
And what we have seen is the acceptance and the people. You know, at first we were kind of guinea pigs being watched, and now it's just like everybody's jumping in and seeing the success and the tremendous, wonderful stories of our young children excelling in national contests, but most importantly, just on the family level.
Yes, and the success that you find in those relationships and whatever happens there. But what is going on when you got so many homeschool dads involved in politics? I mean, I think of Kevin Lundberg, Greg Brophy, Dave Schultheis, homeschool grandpa, Bill Cadman, Mark Clower. I think I've missed a few others. But these guys all homeschool. What is it about homeschooling that is bringing these dads out? And they are getting involved.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason I see, number one, they are getting involved is because they see the impact of homeschooling across the nation. But they also want to maintain the right for the rest of the families in the state. Mm-hmm. And I think if you asked any single one of them, that homeschooling rights would come up in one of their reasons as far as running for office. Besides, you know, other social issues, and a lot of them are involved in some good family things as well.
Now, we've already said that as we go into the next legislative session, there are going to be some problems for those who believe in things like the life issue,
yes.
family issues, etc.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what is the scenario? What's the worst case, what's the best case scenario for homeschool friendly bills or for bills that might actually begin to regulate homeschools?
Well, I think the worst-case scenario would be that the House and the Senate would pass all restrictive legislation, and it would end up on the governor's desk.
Okay, that's worst case. In that case, what happens? We have a friendly governor.
Yes, we have a governor who helped us with our statute when he was a representative and a senator in the state.
Okay.
Yes, and he's very, very near and dear to homeschooling, and I believe he would not allow anything to pass his desk that would further restrict homeschooling.
Okay, but what about progress for the educational choice position? Will we get something in favor of tax credits passed over the next 2 years, do you think?
Tax credits? I don't know, Kevin. That's a hard one to call, but I know there are people going to proceed and act as if the Democrats did not control. They're going to proceed with legislation just as normal, and I am very optimistic.
Okay.
No, I believe with God all things are possible, and we might see some really good things come out of
this. This may be the year to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, strategically, especially if you get some Democrats on the right side. You've already said there are some Democrats that may be friendly. I assume all Democrats are not unfriendly to family values. There are some good guys out there.
Yes, there certainly are, but you have to be careful because, you know, sometimes what they consider family values are not what we do, and social issues, no more government control is not what we consider, you know, a family-friendly situation. But I think for the most part, we've made inroads with a lot of the Democratic Party over the last years. And I think we're going to be seeing the results of all that labor coming up in the next 2 years.
Now, in terms of other regulations that could come down the pike for homeschoolers, you've already mentioned to me off mic that the satellite school option could be threatened.
Yes.
Why don't you explain that to the listening audience?
Well, we have the satellite option, which is basically a private school enrollment where the teaching is allowed to take place in the home. From a court case back in the same year we passed the law, it was the appellate court upheld it in 88. And what that decision did, it was based on one single word in the statute, which was changed from attends to enrolls, I think, in the early 80s.
Okay.
And that statute stands as today as enrolled in, and that's why the courts ruled in the favor of the Bowles, because their children were enrolled in a private school and the teaching was taking place in the home and they weren't in the same town.
So in other words, this is another way to school at home.
Yes.
You can school at home in Colorado under the private school law that is under being registered, enrolled in a private school in Colorado. And that does happen, doesn't it? Many families that choose to school at home will do so under the satellite school, independent school, umbrella school law.
Absolutely. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And we've had a few rumblings in the past. I think we may see the first serious effort to change that statute back in this upcoming session. Because they know we're there, and they know these options are there. And like I was reading earlier, it's been a concerted effort, and they have a list. And we are, if not on the top, towards the very top of that list of bringing us back under the umbrella of the public school system.
Okay, Tria, now let's get back to the original problem that we had. And that was that we lost the 2004 elections. We lost a congressional seat. We lost a U.S. Senate seat. We lost the House, the Senate, from control in a party that seems to be pretty favorable to educational choice. How in the world are we going to get it back in 2006? What do people have to do? What, sitting right here, as families are listening to this, parents are listening, say, I'm concerned. I want to make progress. I want to leave this state a better place for my children and grandchildren. But we didn't do it in 2004. I want to do it in 2006. How can they get involved?
Well, I think the first and foremost thing is for them to begin praying for those 2006 elections. The right candidates to rise up, the finances. Parents need to get down in their pocketbook and sacrificially give to these candidates, to the Hearth Fund, to these other areas that we can provide the money that these candidates need for adequate campaigning purposes.
Now, you mentioned the Hearth Fund. Why don't you develop on that for a second? That's Representative Kevin Lundberg's idea that he's put together. It's a way that you can contribute to campaigns.
Yes, I believe it's a $50 a person that you can contribute. It's limited to that, and it goes to a fund, and then the fund distributes the money from there. And it's a very well done, well thought out, and I think we were just a little late on coming up with it in time for these elections because we just didn't have enough time to get it off, and the others had beat us to it, working through other areas. This is one way we're going to win in 2006.
And the fact of the matter is, when you have other people coming up and donating, I think you mentioned 500 and some thousand dollars to campaigns across the state of Colorado, you have three or four of these guys doing it. They're dumping, $2 million into these campaigns. That's really tough to go against that kind of opposition. But let's say you had 10, 15,000 families in the state of Colorado. They could all come up with $50, and right away, now you're up to $1 million. For the cause of freedom.
It's doable, and we need to stop looking at huge numbers. We need to look at what we can do individually, just like the individual phone call, the letter, the email, the individual vote. I know there were people who sat at home and did not go vote. And now we're looking at the price we're paying because there were those who did not vote.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that complicated to get involved. It's just, first of all, it takes a heart of conviction, a matter of wanting to see the family protected and defended in our state. You need to start with the conviction, but if you've got that, $50 really isn't that hard. You are listening to Treon Gosin from Concerned Parents of Colorado on Generations Today. We're going to be back in a moment to give you some concrete ideas what you can do to change our state. We'll be back in a moment.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
The reason I bring my family to Reformation Church is because of the strong preaching of the Word. Every week is and has been very insightful into the depths and riches of God's Word. I'm actually challenged again to grow deeper in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Reformation is also body believers who are warm, loving, and committed to the truth and to one another. It's a unique body of people who are very willing to stand up for their convictions. A group where the men of the congregation are actually leading their families, not perfectly, but truly are giving their best efforts to be true to what God has called them to as men. The elders are loving and care about the people and show their love in many ways.
Thanks, Tim. Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays, building strong families, a close community, and a generational reformation. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Changing lives to change the world. Team Pact is a Christian organization that displays another side of state government. With four-day classes held in 40 state capitals across the nation, Team Pact gives students one-third of a Carnegie unit of government in an interactive and fun environment.
Team Pact not only taught government in an interesting way, but it showed me that I could make a difference.
For information on the Team Pact state class nearest you, visit teenpact.com.
On the quest to save the West, all of Western civilization, we always bite off more than we can chew on this program. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today we're talking about the survival of the family, educational choices, which we believe to be central to the very fight for freedom, for liberty in the 21st century. Treon Gosen is with me from Concerned Parents of Colorado. And Treon, we've already talked about complacency, that there are people that tend to get complacent over the years. Now, you've been at it a long time, and I'll tell you what, Treon, I have never called you complacent. You're not complacent today. You never have been. What is it? How is it that you continue to come back year after year after year and fight this battle?
Well, Kevin, you know, I've thought a lot about that myself, and I think it's because I saw the way it was before I lived through it. And I received the calls from families just scared about social services and scared their kids are going to be taken away. And how do we do this? How do we do that? And I made it my goal back then to make it for these families can homeschool in peace. And it's just something that got hold of me.
Yeah.
And like you said, I see it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how fragile it is. Just a stroke of a pen, a change of a word, you know, can eliminate what we hold so dearly. And it's taken the vigilance, the watching to, you know, make sure.
And there are people out there that don't agree with us.
It's
hard to realize this, but they don't. They really don't want parents making educational choices, period.
No, we're not capable or qualified to do so.
Right. And so these people exist, and these people are committed, and these people are willing to do what it takes to undermine our freedoms. And so for that, we've really got to stay involved. And as we said, it really doesn't take much. And really, you know, liberty is always that way. If you don't get involved now, you're really going to have to get involved later. I think somebody said, pay me now or pay me later.
That's right.
And it's always painful to pay you later. So really, the $50 or the little bit of involvement that people put into an election or put into calling their legislator today really can do a lot of good for the future.
Oh, it can. It can change the whole course of events. I mean, we saw what happened with the American Revolution, and that was what they considered an unwinnable situation, but no one bothered telling our founding fathers that.
Right. And just about 4 years ago, I think there was a regulation someone tried to put on homeschoolers in our state. It had to do with the truancy issue, I believe. And that thing came down in flames when homeschoolers called. And in fact, it came to the point someone told me that whenever somebody at the Capitol picked up the phone, they asked the question, is this about this homeschool bill? I mean, homeschoolers really got involved, and they will continue to get involved.
Yes, they will. And I have faith in the homeschooling community and in parents in general in this state, that they will rise up and recognize what's going on. And yes, they even had to move that committee. It was standing room only.
That's right.
And it went down in flames.
Yes.
That's one of the things we will see coming back, though.
Yes. And we may have to pack out some of those legislative hearings. And let's give people a heads up. January starts the legislative session. What should they be ready to do at that point?
I think they should be connected by email to check and to what I do in order to receive the alerts and the information. I give out information on all the bills introduced that would affect us. And then when they're in committee and whether it's something they should attend or not or make a call on or not, sometimes we work behind the scenes. And when that doesn't pan out, then we pull in the lobby. We're very careful about how we work in order to make it effective and not, you know, burn out what we do. But there's a lot parents can do, and they need to stay connected to be informed. If you're not informed, then you don't know what's going on.
And we are going to have a number of meetings coming up in December, December 9th and 10th this year. That's just in a couple of weeks, December 9th and 10th,
yes,
in Colorado Springs and Denver, to inform our Colorado constituency as to what is happening in terms of educational choice and family issues in the next legislative session. These are important meetings, December 9th and 10th, and they can contact you regarding these meetings or myself. They can email check at office@check.org, office@chec.org, or they can get in contact with you. Why don't you give your email address?
Yes, they can contact me at TreonElaine, TreonElaine, at AOL.com. And I would be happy to, direct them to the meeting closest to them. And I'm so excited about these meetings, Kevin, because I think it's a launching pad,
yes,
for the legislative session coming up. It's going to be a time of gathering, and it's not just for homeschoolers. I want to make that very clear. This is for anyone who has a concern about what's going on in the state at this time. And we will be discussing strategies, involvement, and ways to handle what we're going to be facing, coming January.
Folks, that's December 9th and 10th. You can contact Treon at TreonElaine, without the E,
that's right,
at AOL.com, and get more information from Treon. Also, be aware that Treon gives legislative alerts, so if you want to sign up to her legislative alerts, same email address, right?
That's right, and there's no charge.
There's no charge.
No charge. Please, get informed.
For Treon, it's a labor of love, but of course, she would take any contributions that you could afford her. Once again, Treon, thank you so much for joining us today. What a critical program for our families in the state of Colorado.
Thank you, Kevin. I've enjoyed being here.
And folks, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our program today. It's Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Not sure you have what it takes to teach your children? You need to check out Christian Cottage Homeschool Services at ChristianCottage.com. They have been helping parents succeed in the education of their children with every kind of learning style and ability since 1987. If your child is gifted, talented, Christian Cottage can design a program to suit both you and your child. If your child has learning challenges, Christian Cottage can help you achieve the best year ever. Check them out at ChristianCottage.com or call 303-688-6626.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
Hi, folks. We're back. This is Kevin Swanson with Generations. And just a quickie before we leave. We lost our dog last week, and it was one of the most traumatic experiences in our family's life. Our children were, they were running around the neighborhood in 24-degree weather, calling for this dog for days on end. And it was Sunday. We asked for prayer at church on this. And one of the children raised their hand and says, could you pray for our dog? Our dog's been missing. Now, I kid you not, we prayed at 1:55 p.m. in the afternoon. We got the call at 2 o'clock. 5 minutes later, not bad response time. Our kids were ecstatic, incredible. God answers prayer once again, proven. in an incredible way. On this program, we are fighting for the life of the family. By God's grace, we're going to prevail. My name is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.
Generations is produced by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, together with our fine business partners, George Sechrist Insurance, McKinney Motors, Christian Cottage Schools, Christian Liberty Academy, and Reformation Church in Castle Rock. Executive producer is Dave Buhner. You will find the products and services mentioned on this program at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Join us again next week as we continue to build for a new generation, for heaven's sake.
Of the recent presidential campaign, Senator John Kerry made a blunder. He said that he thought he could reduce terrorism to a nuisance, you know, like prostitution. Hi, I'm Dave Buhner, producer of Generations with Kevin Swanson. And I'm afraid many Christians take Senator John Kerry's approach and apply it to their sin. They simply want to manage their sin and, you know, keep it at a nuisance level. After all, it's not like you're murdering anyone. It's a little bitterness here, or a teensy weensy little bit of envy. Maybe a little gossip or a little unwholesome entertainment, but not so much as you can't handle it. And if it gets to be too much, you can always mend your ways. No need to change my whole life over a so-called little sin. I can manage it. Oh, can you really? Have you considered the words of Peter when he warns to be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How well will you manage when you're being devoured by a lion? This line, I can manage, is an example of self-deception. Now, deception, by its very nature, is unknown to the one being deceived. That is to say, the one being deceived is unaware that they are deceived. That is the nature of deception. But to think you can manage sin is even more pitiful, for it is self-deception. The deceived and the deceiver are the same one, yet they're unaware of the deception. We should follow the writer of Hebrews' exhortation to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now here we are told life is like a marathon race, and sin is like a weight that we carry around that slows us down and drains our energy. How ridiculous to think we have a chance of finishing a long race, let alone to win it with a 70-pound pack dragging us down. But sin here is identified also as a trap. Once you are aware that it has you, it's too late to get out. It is simply best to avoid the trap rather than to try and escape it. So here we are, slogging along life's marathon with a heavy weight bogging us down. And of course, we refuse to put down that weight. And on closer observation, we see that that pack is not just heavy, but hanging out of it is a net that we keep tripping over. At any moment, we could get so tangled in the net that continuing the race will be all but impossible. There is only one rational course of action, and that is to repent. Yes, I know it's hard. It is perhaps the hardest thing you'll ever try to do in your life. But we must work for victory over sin, not peace with our sin. These words from the book of Hebrews should ring loud in your ears. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Yes, the Lord we love, we walk on like a doormat. We cheapen his death on the cross when we attempt to manage our sin. Do not make peace with your sin. Do not try to manage it, but repent. Repent today. And then, do it again tomorrow. And do not stop repenting until you have the victory. There is only one option, and that is total victory over sin. And that can only come when we keep our eyes on the one who conquered sin for us. If we will keep our eyes on the Lord, if we repent of our sins, then we will become stepping stones for future generations.